Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. Today, I am coming to you from the Command Center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I am in an undisclosed location because I'm written into the vault of where I have stacks and stacks of the resources that I have, especially for you. They are selected. So today, I'm going to reach as right now into the vault. Okay, I've got it. Yeah, let me put that down here. All right, we've got it, we've got it. And on to our 101st episode. Now, I don't normally mention the episode number, but as we've crossed the 100th episode in this podcast, that I had to mention the last podcast and did a very special, unique episode, I thought I would just mention it at the very beginning as we cross over and begin. It's almost like our first episode again, going from 100 and let's move it towards 200. Let's see how we do. And I thought about doing something a bit different on today's episode as we have taken from the vault the resource that we have for you today, and that is 3 do's and don'ts to motivating people within the workplace. And you may have heard a lot about this idea of motivation, what motivates people, and there's an argument about that, or let's put it this way, there are different sides of the aisle on this. I remember doing a workshop some time back, and I talk about the idea of motivation, and how are people motivated? And one thing I said in that workshop was, we truly cannot motivate people. Motivation has to come from within. Yes, there could be external triggers that lead to that, but it has to really come from within. We've got to want to do something, right? In my book, The Emotelligent Leader, Succeed Where Others Failed and Become the Leader Everyone Loves and Wants to Follow, I talk about this very principle under the idea of how could you create as a leader an environment where people want to show up. They want to give their best self. How do you do that? Because according to Gallup, majority of people are just showing up. They really don't want to be there. They're there just for perfunctionary, you know, means because it's just a paycheck, basically. And you may have seen that. You may have come across that, I'm sure. You may have experienced that as a leader, maybe even yourself at times. Don't want to be where you are right now. You would rather be someplace else. You would rather be doing something different. Am I correct? Am I right? I mean, I do know that we are all guilty at some point. Sometimes I'm thinking about doing a podcast episode. I'm thinking, oh man, you know, for a moment, I catch myself because I would just rather sometimes just not do it. But I know I show up and do it because I want to. I am motivated. I do this because I get joy. I really, truly just get a rush, a high. You know, sometimes I'm feeling a bit kind of low energy. And if I can just get started in doing the video episode, the podcast episode, oh man, watch out. I am energized. So I know it's just taking that initial step. But I talk about this in that workshop that we get people, if we can get people to want to and find an inner desire, an inner motivation, something that comes from within, then what they do would be much more effective, but also they would do it a whole lot better. Am I right? I mean, do you find that to be true as well? Am I the only one who have found that to be so? I don't think I'm the only one, as I'm sure you're raising your hand and say, no, I do. I find that as well. And some days that's me, if we're being honest, right? But today I thought I would do an episode and just kind of give this like preliminary overview as we get into the three do's and three don'ts, and just kind of dive into the topic and just see how this goes. It may be obviously a shorter episode, but we'll see. And just start with the three do's and three don'ts right away off the bat without going to a whole bunch of other things. And so I wanted to, before I get into this article I read in the Harvard Business Review is what led me to do this episode today. Ron Carusi is his name, and he wrote an article, and the article is what kind of led me to this. And the article he wrote was entitled, What Not to Do When You're Trying to Motivate Your Team. What Not to Do When You're Trying to Motivate Your Team. And I thought about that title, but of course I don't want to steal his title. And basically what I'm sharing with you is from his article, but again, I'm not sharing word for word what he shared. I'm only using that as an inspiration, as something that motivated me to talk about these three do's and three don'ts. So let's then get into, first off and foremost, you know, you always try to get the bad news before the good news, right? Have you heard someone say, which do you want? Which would you rather, the good news first or the bad news first? Now, I don't know about you, but I say, give me the bad news first. Because what happened is, I want the end, you know, what I leave with is the good news. Because we all remember mostly what happened at the end of a talk. And so it's important to end your talk, your workshop, whatever it is, on a high note, but also try to give the people what you want them to take away and remember towards the end of a session. But sometimes, of course, the bad news can be so strong, it far outweighs anything a person may say that might be a good news, right? I'll give you an example. My mom, when she passed away in 2011, and my sister, my younger sister, her name is Charmaine, and she called me to let me know that mom had died. And so, you know, what if she had said to me, Kings, well, my nickname is JC, if you listen to 100, the episode 100, you probably found this out. And so I don't have to really, you know, explain why. But she said, Jay, on the phone, that early morning call that came in, she said, Jay, you know, I just really, and through the sobbing, and her tears in her voice, you know, trembling. So I know she was crying, and she said, "Mom passed." Those two words. Now, if she had said to me, "You know, I have Jay, I have good news and I have bad news. Which one do you want first?" And I said, "Give me the bad news first." Right? Now, I'm not sure what good news she could say that would really make the bad news less than. I mean, that bad news would be what would stand out in my mind. Even though she may say, hey, the only thing she could say as a good news that would truly make a difference and have the weight would raise the scale towards that, if she said, you know, Jay, good news or bad news? And I said to her, bad news first. And she said, okay, just letting you know, Mom passed. She did not make it out of the hospital, and I want you to know. And that's, you know, okay, I'm thinking, how can you top that? What could you say to shift to the good news that it would be very effective? And now if she said, but guess what, Jay? We prayed, and, you know, I believe in miracles. And she said, we prayed, and guess what? God raised her back up. The doctors declared her dead, but God raised her up and she's alive. Now that would be some good news, right? That would be truly, you know, far outweigh the bad news. I would, you know, just like go, wow, real, oh my word. You know, I would be just going, I mean, I would go on and on and on, right? Wouldn't you? Okay, so you get what I'm saying. So what I'm doing here is going to give you the bad news first, and then I'm going to give you the good news. Now, thankfully, the bad news is not as strong and as heavy as what my sister could have said to me when it came to my mom's death, right? So what then are the three don'ts that you might not want to do to try to motivate your team, your people? Well, the first one that he mentioned, and I'm going to use this one as directly from him, is he calls it the drive-by praise, the drive-by praise. And what I would call that is almost a surfacey. There's no substance to it. There's no oomph to it. There's no personalization to it. Even though the person's name might be used, you can almost tell as if this person is in passing making a statement of gratitude or appreciation for what was done. But it really was one of those moments you can feel like something was missing. Something that's truly, it doesn't, there's a disconnect there, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, I heard the story about two persons who were singing this song, The Amazing Grace. It's a gospel song, a hymn. And I'm not sure, you might know of it, but the person shared and they talked about the two different persons or people who were singing this song. The first person who got up was a professional singer. And, oh boy, they belted out the song Amazing Grace. And everyone clapped and everyone like, you know, yeah, 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 great song. But then the next person came to sing. Have you heard this story before? Okay, I mean, if you have, just kind of humor me and bear with me here as I retell it. If you haven't heard it, then I'm glad you are hearing it for the first time from me. And so the second person came up. Now, this person, the second person, wasn't a professional singer. This person who had said, what they said was, I have a relationship with God. I truly have a very meaningful relationship with God. And they got up to sing. And oh boy, what a song they belted out. The room went crazy. Everybody got up and everybody was like, oh man, what do we have here? What's going on here, right? And what was happening was they realized the difference. The first person was professional and, you know, the song was okay, it was good. But the second person had an oomph, had substance behind the singing, and that would not be a drive-by Amazing Grace or a drive-by delivery. It would truly be showing up and delivering, right? So the first thing is don't do drive-by praise. Don't do meaningless or just because you feel the obligation or whatever case might be just to say something. Let me say that. It's better than nothing, right? That's better than nothing. But I believe that if you're going to do something as far as acknowledgement and praise and recognition, it must be meaningful. The second thing that you don't want to do is make stuff up. Oh, boy. I mean, have you ever had someone trying to tell you something and you know they have not read your article or your email or your text message, right? Or you know they have not listened to your video or your audio, right? And they're, you know, they're making stuff up. They may have just kind of, you know, scan through and just have an idea, or may have heard somebody talk about what the article or the book or the thing you've done, and they just make it up on the moment. Now, they do have some parts of it right, but you know they're not, you know, it's not all there, right? They're not going in a manner where they truly, you know, have done the homework, you know, as what they should have done. And so they're truly just kind of making stuff up as they go. Now, it sounds good. And, you know, it sounds like they're very, you know, at least took some time. But it's almost like, you know, that there's a disconnect as well, right? And they make stuff up. So as a leader, don't make stuff up. If you really haven't and truly don't mean something or haven't taken the time to look at someone's work and get the proper feedback they really need, then just wait until you have that. Just say, you know, I'll get back with you. I was busy, really. I'm going to get to that. And as soon as I do, I will get back to you on that. And just be honest. Be honest. People will trust you and be more respectful of that than if you make stuff up. The third thing is, he calls it guilt gratitude. Guilt gratitude. And by that, it simply talk about the idea that, you know, just like, I feel I need to, I must say to you a thank you or an appreciation. I feel like you did the job and I owe you, right? It's almost like I owe you. Maybe you went out of the way of doing something. Maybe you kind of stayed up late and doing something. Maybe you kind of took your work over time, whatever the case might be. And so what happened is that the guilt, I feel the leader feels guilty. Feel like, boy, I've got to say something because I know that what you may have taken, what it may have cost you to do this, and so basically they're just kind of doing it out of guilt. Probably they have heard somebody else giving praise to you, and they realize, wait a minute, oh my word, I haven't even said anything. And so they're feeling guilty. So they rush to you or send you an email quickly or a text message. And sometimes they lie, right? So I was just thinking about this. And oh man, I didn't get around to doing this. I had it all planned, all thought about from yesterday or whatever it was. You're right. Come on. We all can see through that. Now, there are genuine times that those things can happen. But people will know if you are the type of person that they can, you know, have known, like, and trust, and they can understand their exceptions to that. So the three don'ts are, don't do drive-by praise, don't make stuff up, and don't do guilt gratitude. Now, what then could be the three do's? What are the three do's? Well, I wrote about some things in my book, and so this is really, this article that I read and this episode I'm doing, it kind of go along with my book, The Immortelligent Leader, Succeed Where Others Failed and Become the Leader Everyone Loves and Wants to Follow. And by the way, if you want to get a free copy of this book, only cover shipping and handling, you can do so by going to kingsleygrant.com/free leadership book. And that way you can get this book free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. Or you can get it from Amazon directly and purchase it there as well. So the idea of what you can do is, I would simply say, do a follow-up, right? Do a follow-up. He says, ask for the story. I say do a follow-up, meaning that when you are about to give the recognition or the acknowledgement, what if you find out a little bit more? Take the time to ask the person, so tell me, how are you able to pull this off? I mean, how did you do this? But act real and in amazement, like you genuinely want to know. And so what happened, the person feels as if you are, you know, you're with them and you want to get a backdrop as to how they accomplished the task. And they will feel good that you're curious. You know, I did an episode, I hope you've listened to it, about the curiosity issue. And it's with Dr. Diane Hamilton. And if you've not listened to that episode, let me encourage you to go and listen to that. Because it truly talks about this idea of curiosity and about leaders becoming curious. So in this idea, it's simply becoming curious. So I could also say it's become a bit more curious. You could also title it this way. One of the do's is be curious. And so that means ask questions. Ask for the how. How did you do this? And so what happened is that they'll feel that their work really matters. Okay, because what you're doing is honoring the what they did to get the result they got, right? And so it makes them feel special, and that you would ask, you're caring for them. You know, one of the chapters in my book I talk about leadership is stewardship, and in that chapter I talk about this idea of caring for people, and I mentioned the five domains: physically, intellectually, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. I use the acronym PIERS, P-I-E-R-S, to describe that. And so you may want to go and read that when you get the book. But the point is that you are actually showing that you care and that their work matters. Their work matters. People don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care, right? That is what people want to know. So the first thing is then, I would say, be curious, be curious. The second thing I would say is bigger picture gratitude, bigger picture gratitude. What do I mean by that? Well, by the way, that in his article, he calls it contextualized gratitude. And what I'm talking about bigger picture gratitude is you're trying to help them to connect what they do to the bigger picture. You know, it's hard for people most times to connect. They just see what they're doing as in a very short-sighted way. And it's not their fault. They're looking at their daily job as I show up, I work, and I hopefully I'm making a difference in my workplace as far as the bigger picture is concerned. And they may not know that. They may not know how to connect with that. And so what you're doing is basically help them to see how that, in their mind, small, seemingly insignificant contribution they're making, how awesome, how huge, how big that is. What if you were to say that because of what you did, because of your work today, you could say this to the team or to an individual who's working on probably a solo project. Here's what happened. The company was able to meet its quota. The company was able to generate whatever it was. And just, I want to let you know how grateful we are and how much we appreciate what you did, because you are the one that's making the difference. You are the one that's causing a person, and it depends on the product you're working on or the outcome, how you can relate that and personalize that and tie that to where it improves something, especially people's lives, right? It improves status of people, and you're showing them how that work connects, and they're simply now, in a sense, interpreting that as, wow, I mean, what I did that? You know, I'm reminded of a sitcom that I used to watch, and it was a very funny sitcom, and it's, you know, no longer been shown, but one of the characters in that sitcom, his name was Urkel, and maybe you know what I'm talking about, but he would sometimes, you know, of course, dressed in a certain way. His pants is always like short, it's not reaching his shoes. He would wear these suspenders, and his pants is almost, you know, his waist is almost under his arms, right? And in big glasses, that character. And so he acted like a nerd, right? He would look like a nerd. And the way he walked, the way he talked. And so one thing he's often saying, or he says very often, is, did I do that? Did I do that? Right? And it's almost annoying the way he would say it. He just did something. And maybe he may not even realize the connection of what happened. For example, he may slam the door and something broke, and he opened the door and said, did I do that? Did I do that? It's almost a nasally kind of statement. And his eyes is wide like a deer caught in a headlight. And he's like, on his big glasses, and he would point, did I do that? Right. So that you get the point. And so some people don't know that they have done that. That's what they did. And you want to have them have the aha moment, wow moment. So I call it the bigger picture gratitude. And the third dues is, and I want to use what he used, was acknowledge the cost, acknowledge the cost. And basically what you're doing is simply saying, you know, I recognize the fact that for you to have done this, what it took, the discipline, the sacrifice, the times I see you working throughout your lunch, the times I see you working beyond clock out time, the times you came before the office was really kicking and getting started, you were here. And so you want them to know that you've noticed that, and you want to let them realize that it costs them something. It costs them something. And time away from their family is a big one. And you don't want to take that for granted. And maybe if it's at the end of a project and you're about to move on to something new, what if you gave them half a day off and just say, hey, you know what? We're about to get started on a new project. I think for the work you did, all the sacrifice you made, we want to, as a company, allow you to take the rest of the day off, half a day, for example. Do you know how awesome that would be? Do you know how huge that would be for that person's life? You would truly have created a person that wants to really do their best for the company and for you to succeed. And that's what it is, my friend. So let me quickly then go over the three do's. I'm sorry, the three don'ts first. First, don't do drive-by praise. Number two, don't make stuff up. Number three, don't do a guilt gratitude. That doesn't work. However, here's what you can do instead. And that is to, as he put here, ask for the story. I simply phrase that as be curious, right? Be curious. And then the second thing would be to contextual gratitude, he calls it, but I call it bigger picture gratitude. Bigger picture gratitude. And the third thing to do is acknowledge the cost. Acknowledge the cost. And so basically what you're doing is, in doing this, you are actually helping the person, you know, helping them to be motivated to keep on doing more. Because, hey, we all love to have our back scratched, don't we? Don't you? I do. And I'm sure you do as well. So, my friend, I hope this was helpful for you. I hope you got some takeaway. And I want to say thanks to Ron Carusi for this article in Harvard Business Review, so that I could also just thought it would be very timely, very helpful to pass this on and share this with you as you listen today. And my friend, I just want to encourage you to remember that you're one skill away from your best hope. One skill. And so today, I hopefully these skills are getting you closer to your best hope. My friend, you know the drill and you know what time it is. We've now come to the end of our episode. So let's put this episode back into the vault. Here we go. There it is. Now it's locked away. Now I can safely and I can exit the Immortelligent Leadership Institute from where I am coming, right? The command center, and now step out. So with that said, my friend, thank you so very much for watching. For listening to this episode today. I truly appreciate you listening to the three do's and three don'ts of how to motivate your people. With that said, peace out. God bless. And I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.